In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Mass is meant to be a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. What we come to do here on Sundays and at other times, on special days throughout the year, what we come to do here is to remind ourselves and to show others a glimpse of what heaven might be like. It is richly symbolic. The things that we do, the things that we wear, even up into the way that this building is shaped, is symbolic. And it's meant to direct us, to direct our minds, to direct our souls to what heaven may be like and to what worship in God's kingdom may be like. The way that this building is shaped, with moving from this nave space where everyone sits to this point where in many churches there is a cross called a rood screen that you pass underneath. And you pass, as you pass through the death of Christ and through your own death, as you pass underneath this cross wherein, if Christ were truly hanging there, you might get blood on you. As you pass through that into the heavenly choir. Why are you laughing? As you pass into the heavenly choir, surrounded by those robed in white, worshiping God around the altar as you go to receive communion and to be in union with God. It's all richly symbolic, what we do, but it's more than just symbolism. It's a foretaste. It's an introduction to God's kingdom and to what worship in God's kingdom might just be like. It has developed through the years, and it's developed from images that very holy people have gotten. Visions, revelations that saints have gotten through the years have developed this worship that we do. And one of those very important images that if you think about that first reading and look in front of you should be obvious. You will see this throng robed in white worshiping around the altar. St. John had this revelation, he had this dream, this vision of what God's kingdom, what worship in that kingdom might be like. And what he saw were saints gathered around the throne, robed in white, all worshiping together. And we, as we come together on Sundays and other times, whenever we come together for Mass, we come together, and although, yes, the choir is here in white, and you are out there dressed in many different colors, still, we all worship together. At the same time, in the same place. We have different roles, different functions, but we worship together. And what John sees in the revelation, his vision of heaven, is that he sees those people who have come through the great ordeal, who have come through the suffering and persecution, who have passed through death into the next life, and he sees what their life is like now. And what his life too may be someday. Remember that John is living at a time where the church is still being persecuted, where Christians are still being put to death. And I'm sure he knew plenty of people that he loved that were now dead, that were on the other side of the cross, that had passed through Christ's death and are now living a glimpse, or at least a foretaste of the resurrected life, are now living in the presence of God, living in front of God's throne. And he sees them there dressed in white, in these white robes, white that symbolizes purity. And of course you could ask, why are these robes white? Is it because these individuals have lived good lives? Is it because they are in and of themselves pure? You might ask that of these people too. I assure you, that's not the case. Some of them are actually lawyers. They don't wear the white. They're not given the outer garment, this purity, because they in and of themselves are good and have all the grace that they need. They are given it. They are given it by virtue of their baptism into Christ. It is His life that makes them pure. It is His blood that washes away the stains. And in John's vision, when he sees all these robed in white, why are the robes white in this morning's passage, that first reading? They're white because they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're not white because those that are there have lived spectacular lives necessarily. They're not white because these people have been blameless and sinless. They're white because they have taken their sinful garments, their sinful bodies, and washed them in the blood of Christ. The saints who gather around God's throne are not inherently better people than you or I. They come from the same stock that you and I do. They are saints. Their robes are white because they have immersed themselves in Christ. And in the richly symbolic language of the book of Revelation, they have washed themselves in the blood of Christ, in the blood of the Lamb who is our Lord Jesus Christ, and His blood which is His life. They have immersed themselves in the life of Christ, and it is that action which makes them holy. Holy, not necessarily good. It makes them holy, it washes away the stain of their sin, but they are still the same humans. They didn't get there by being good on their own. They got there by uniting themselves to Christ. They didn't get there because they have all the answers to all of life's troubles and problems or have all perfect knowledge of the future. We think a lot of funny things about saints sometimes. We think that they are people who just live good lives, and that's why we respect them. We think that they are people who are somehow, on some level, sinless. But that's just not true. Saints come from the same stock that you and I do. They are just as human as we are, and that makes them just as much sinners as we are. The difference is that saints have proven their ability to immerse themselves in Christ. They have proven themselves able to unite their life with Christ's life, and that's what gives them their strength. Not from within themselves, but they are able to draw upon the strength of Christ. Some are better able to do it than others, but still that's where their strength comes from. They don't know all the future. They don't have all the answers. Many of our great saints in the history of the church were very humble people who would be the first to admit that they didn't have all the answers to all of faith's questions. Our epistle this morning, the first epistle of John, when he says that we do not know what we will be like in the future. In that resurrected life, in that heavenly kingdom, we don't know everything about it. We have glimpses, we have ideas, but we don't know everything about it, but that's okay. Because what he points out is that although we don't know exactly what we are to become, we know who we want to be like. He knew that he wanted to be more and more like Christ. He knew that he wanted to live up to the title of child of God. What an amazing title that is. And he knew that in order to do that, he had to become more and more Christ-like. And that's what he addresses to other children of God. That we who are calling ourselves part of God's family, if we are calling ourselves God's children, then we should be striving to purify ourselves, to unite ourselves more and more to Christ, to make us closer and closer to Him, so that when Christ is revealed, we will see ourselves as being truly like Him. In the history of the church, there have been individuals who have done an amazing job of uniting themselves to Christ, of uniting their will with His will. These are the people we call saints. They have proven to have his heroic faith. They've often done miraculous things, courageous things. And we hold them up as family members, but as family members that give us examples of a way of life. We hold them up as people who inspire us, who teach us, who are worthy of being imitated. But still they come from our family. And we are all within that spectrum of people who run from bona fide saint to questionable sinner. We who are baptized into the life of Christ are on that spectrum from those who have abundant faith and to those who barely have any. These feasts that we celebrate this weekend, these two feasts, are meant to hold up the whole family of God. The Feast of All Saints holds up those who have proven through their life to have heroic, abundant faith, whom we have much to learn from. And the Feast of All Souls holds up all of those who were baptized into Christ's life, those people who we are more likely closer to, knew better, who were as much sinners and yet at the same time washed into Christ's body, bathed in his blood. Some of the people that we will pray for this morning were paragons of virtue in their own right, and some less so. Still, they all wear the robe, the white robe of righteousness given to them in their baptism and presented to them in the kingdom of God. And we continue to pray for all these people that we will pray for this morning. We pray for them because they are our family and our friends and we love them. But we are also here to say that just as we are praying for those people that we love, so too we believe that the saints in heaven pray for us. And for the same reasons. Because we are part of their family. We are part of the family of the church and part of the family of Christ. We are all God's children, and just as we pray for those whom we loved and lost, so do the saints pray for us. I think it's an interesting time to have this service right at the beginning of November, to have All Saints and All Souls, just as we begin to enter into that time of the year that is so full of holidays and family gatherings, and when we're all drawn to our own individual families, drawn together. I think it's an interesting time to have this service because as we move into Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and all these celebrations, many of us will have empty chairs at our tables. Many of the names on the list that we will read out before the beginning of Mass, some of these are people who will be missing from our tables this year. But we come together before then to remind ourselves that when we come to God's table, when we come to the heavenly feast, that there is no one missing. That all of us who have been baptized into Christ's life, all of us who have been washed in his blood, come together at that heavenly banquet and share together in worship and praise. Whenever we participate in the Mass, we participate in that same great high feast. Gathering with all who have washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb and offering to God our praise and offering to each other our prayers. Amen.